Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a reason more pros choose Redneck blinds over any other blind on the market. Combining amazing quietness, scent control, and usability features, you have the ultimate hunting blind. Give them a call or check them out online at redneckblinds.com.
Dakota Silence, we're embracing better. Our focuses, revolutionary concealment, extreme silence, enhanced thermal efficiency, purpose-driven functionality. Unheard, unnoticed, uncompromised.
You're listening to the Outdoor Podcast, proudly presented by Six Hour and created by Bowhunter Planet. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I am Tim Mazzarano along with Dave Thomas tonight. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. Thanks to all of our viewers on Carbon TV as well. Love the support and love what you guys do for us. So thank you so much for joining on with us tonight. We're going to talk in a little bit of code, but we're going to also talk really quietly, right? We got Code of Silence on with us tonight. But really what we're going to talk about is some amazing hunting gear, some amazing outerwear that's being put out by Code of Silence. So welcome aboard. Thank you for joining us tonight. How are you all doing?
Doing awesome. It's a pleasure to be here. Deal.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I see Dave's already wearing some of your stuff that you guys have. Yes. And I can't hear it, so that's a good thing. Dave, is it warm?
Feels wonderful. It's nice and cozy. I feel like I kind of want to go to bed. I'll be right back, guys.
Yeah, the stuff works, guys.
I love it. Nice. Well, thanks for joining again. We like to try to start off with like just kind of a little quick rundown of the product menu, right? What do you guys have? What do you guys offer? What's kind of new this year? Have you got anything new this year? Can you give us a quick little guideline there as to what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our second year with the product in the marketplace. You know, last year we had three main series. We had kind of really midweight on up. We're not in the lightweight side of things right now. We're in kind of heavier wool, knit wools. They're Berber and then what we call a fleece wool. So we had a medium weight series last year we called Verdigris. We had kind of an all-purpose series called Zone 7 that got into windproof technologies. And then we had a big dog that was extreme cold called Coldfall. We had tops and bottoms and all three of those and then some accessories. And we've expanded pretty aggressively this year. We have a new series that came in between the middle one and the heavier weight we called Dialed In, Zone 7 Dialed In, which has really filled in the series as it relates to stationary kind of cold weather clothing in a big, big way. We have kind of a more versatile parka now in that, and then a more versatile bib. And then we went down a little bit in on the temperature side. We have a series in merino fleece, merino wool fleece that we call Napanee. We have a top and then some accessories there. And then we have two backpacks that are sitting behind us here that we're really proud of too.
Awesome. So you guys are a pretty young company, and that's great because we love new to the market type of stuff. It's great to see companies that are innovating themselves and bringing products to the industry, because it's something that we've seen. You know, we've been around for about 14 years now, I think is what we're coming on. And we've seen some amazing stuff come on board into the hunting industry. And it's great to see that things are still evolving and there's still opportunity out there. So give us a little bit of a history of like how you guys got into this and why you started it.
Okay. I'll try to be as brief as I can. This is a pretty long story actually. So
We got time.
Okay. This is Jamie Dykeman and I'm Ev Terrell, and we both have history at Cabela's. We worked together at Cabela's. I left kind of right before what they call the transaction, right? When Bass Pro bought Cabela's, but I spent just right at 30 years there. And for most of those 30 years, ran the hunting apparel area for Cabela's corporately. And Jamie and I did a lot of product development stuff and always got along really good. And I left and it wasn't like I was, you know, ready to go out and build more clothes after I'd done it that long. But to be honest with you, just being a super avid hunter myself, was like, really thought there were still, amazingly, there were still holes in the market. There was places that, you know, needs that a bow hunter particularly had that were not being met. Quiet, better concealment, better warmth, good designs, and then really a little bit on the affordability side too.
Yeah.
And it was funny. And again, I'll try to be brief, but just really didn't think the context of a system that really enabled a hunter to be at his best and to, you know, perform at a higher level and be successful at a higher level, was in the marketplace. And I know that sounds like, wow, we've been building clothes for 40, 50 years and real tree mossy oak and tree bark have been out there. How can there be a need? And I describe it like this, guys. I'm like, you know, if I've got fishing rods, I'm a pretty big walleye fisherman, and I have a jigging rod that if I forget it at home and we get to the dock and I remember I forgot it, I'm going home, you know. And I have rifles like that. I have you know, spotting scopes that I just won't go and out and watch fields without. I've never had hunting clothing like that. I've never had hunting clothing where if we got to spot and I forgot it, I'm going, hey, we got to go back. And that was really kind of the motivation to create something that was that powerful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead, Tim, sorry.
No, I was going to say, so tell us about that. Tell us about the technology behind the clothes.
Well, you know, the big need, you know, as the name would imply, was around quietness. You know, as much as quietness is important to the, particularly the bow hunter and up close encounters, you know, when you think about clothing, it was like, who is really delivering on a level of quietness that it really gets it done? And I challenge anyone, again, no negativity toward any other brands, but, you know, who is really delivering on that as a primary objective? And so I thought that was a void. And the fabrics I talked about, the Berbers, the high loft fabrics, you know, definitely do that at a better level, particularly when it's cold. I mean, it's so easy to do. It's a lot easier to deliver on quiet when it's 40, 50 degrees out, but the magnification at 0, 10 degrees, you know, especially in later season when the deer have been pressured, a whole different level. And that was just even a bigger void, I guess, guys. And then warmth, you know, there's a few principles we didn't think were being met on the thermal efficiency side. We think breathability was kind of left behind. Super key and staying warm in long periods of time. So all of our technologies are going to favor not just insulation, but breathability and insulation and windproofness at the same time. It's a really hard combination to beat or to deliver on and to beat. But those were some of the primary focuses. We knew we wanted to do something better on the concealment side. And so many different things really got me rolling on this. But few deer, I guess, in particular, but I had a couple aha moments where I was sitting and climbing up 26 feet, moving my stand on the backside of trees, using the tree to hide myself when I was sitting in literally a $1,000 set of camouflage clothing to keep from being detected. And it's like, there has got to be a better way. And I think we figured that out. So
I would agree. I think that the product, to me, when I think of bow hunting and I think of, you know, being an archer and being up in the tree or even in the ground, really, I just, this material is definitely like no sound. So it's definitely one of the first materials I've ever played with that realistically have pretty much zero sound. And even I'm rubbing it right now in my hand, I can't hear it at all. It's just unbelievable, really. The warmth part of it is amazing. Like, so that's the other thing is like, I always feel like when I wear like thick stuff from other brands, right, and I get this stuff on and I'm wearing it and I'm bow hunting, it's like a lot to put on, to be honest. It's like real like puffy and noisy, and I really hate using it. So that's why I'm one of the most excited about this year with this, is that I want to try this really bad, especially as it gets a little chillier and nippier, of course. And but I think you guys are on the right path here, because this is different. It's not nothing like the other brands. That's what makes this a good, you know, the way you're doing this is going to work because it's different. And now the next thing is just selling people on why it's better. Right. And that's the key to this, is just moving forward with the brand and keep going. Of course, you're up against some big brands in the industry, but again, it's a different type of material. So now you have the opportunity to sell even to those people who are buying that stuff or maybe warm gear. You know what I mean? Like, now you can sell them up as well. So
it's
pretty cool.
I'll never forget, Dave. It's kind of funny that you're saying all that, because I was going to say this as well, but I'll never forget. There was, and I'm not going to name names, companies, but there was a company that sent us some hunting gear, right? And they were expensive, really, truly expensive outfits. And put them on. And we're, you know, and I didn't think anything of it at first, but then, because, you know, I'm around my house, trying it out for the first time, all that kind of stuff. And then we go out and we start hunting, and I'm just sitting there going, what's that noise? And it wasn't even that I was moving around that much. It was that, like, every time I breathe, like, your arms move a little bit, or your legs move a little bit. And that's all I hear the whole entire hunt, is this fabric, just on fabric noise. And I'll never forget just thinking, like, there's no way I would spend this kind of money to go out and to have it perform like that. So I think you're dead on. I love the fact that you guys are focusing on the silent part of it, because it is really important, and you don't realize that it's important until you get something that isn't silent, and you're like, what was I thinking?
And you spent a lot of money to get it. That's the other thing.
Absolutely.
You know, this is a side note, I'm gonna throw this in here real quick, because it's really funny. But so my cousin, he bought all this new, this is years ago, maybe like 2000 2001 2000, he bought all this brand new hunting gear. It was like, I remember this. It was like custom $500. So all these, like, all this clothes and stuff. And I don't know why he did this, but he would store it in a black garbage bag. And so, of course, yeah, hand-me-down rag. He was asking me, he's like, dude, I can't afford more clothes. He's like, do you have any hand-me-downs? Like, this was years ago, but oh my gosh, it was the funniest thing.
Sorry,
I was sidetracked.
Oh, no,
it's all good, man. So what's the feedback been like for you guys?
It's been really good. It's honestly been super exciting. Yeah, good. A lot of it has been, you know, what you guys have echoing with the silence. I think what's going to be the hardest, and the affordability is what we're getting feedback to, where it's like, we truly are developing higher end products and offering it at a value price. So when it gets in the hands of our customers and they're providing that feedback, like, holy crap, I can't believe that this is what I'm getting. That's what's become really rewarding to see.
Well, that's from a product standpoint, what you need to marry together, right? Is quality and value.
Yep.
You hit those two together and you're bound for success for sure.
I think you could also, just throwing this out there, and this is like, I know everything you guys do costs a lot of money, so I get that as a company stuff, but as I sit here wearing this and I feel very comfortable in it, and I feel actually just a little enough warmth where I feel pretty good right now. This could be offered in solid colors for, like, people to wear in normal circumstances, like to wear to the store, Myers or whatever, right? Where people don't work. Just a thought, just throwing it out there. Like, this is that type of thing where I would wear this in a brown, a dark color, you know, something cool looking. I don't know, maybe bright white and go a little flashy.
Did Jamie talk to you
before this or something?
No, I was wondering if you could, you know,
just push me a little hard on the solid color stuff. So,
that's funny. Yeah.
I was going to say, Dave, I thought camo was your primary color.
No, but I only when I'm hunting. But I'm glad you thought that, Tim, but it's not the case.
No, I love it. And that, you know, but that is a great point, though. It is one of those things where, like, I love wearing the hunting clothes that I wear, and I buy it for a reason and all that kind of stuff. And it would be great to wear that every day. So good point, Dave. We expect to see that next year from you guys.
Maybe this year. Who knows? They might be hiding something here.
I love it.
Let's talk about the camo itself, the color. What pattern is this? Is this your own, or how's this? What's the pattern?
This is our own pattern. It's called S18 Visual Silence. That's another thing I didn't really touch on. You know, the name Code of Silence, you would normally think, you know, naturally that it's about audible silence. It's actually about visual silence as well. That's one of our trademarks. We kind of call visual silence, you know, neutrality, I guess, when you think about light reflectance, about colors, about pattern, about a lot of things. And I could spend a lot of time talking about this topic. I'll kind of go back to your main question, but it is S18 Visual Silence. It's a pretty long story, guys. Actually, we knew we wanted a unique pattern. We knew it needed to be an authentic pattern, and we did not want it to be art. We didn't want it to be Ev's pattern that, you know, or Jamie's pattern that I'm going to put a little tree here and I want to put a bush here. And so we did a, you know, I won't say the most technical survey, but through a network we had, we identified the average stand height of tree stands at 14.8 feet. You put a 6 foot human in there at, so a bell height of 17.8 rounded up to 18. And then we looked at the five most common trees and looked at the branch density in those five most common trees at that 17.8 foot mark. And that drove the element composition and the pattern. The colors, because this is a jacquard knit, it's not printed. We're limited to four colors. So we really had to find the most common dark, the most common light, and then the two most common colors in the middle that gave us the four colors. But you put that all together and you walk in the woods with it, it does what it's supposed to do. It really does. Cool.
Yeah. I love this. I love the idea.
That's crazy. That's cool.
But I love the idea. Like, and I know we've all seen this now recently, right? With brands just doing their own camos. Like, I love it. Like, to me, it's like the coolest thing. When, you know, a brand comes out with a camo, to me, it could be a hit or miss, right? I mean, see, there's a couple in the industry I could think of I don't really like at all, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm not a big fan. But it's still cool. I like the idea of not paying this extra fee to another company and like just doing your own, like, because why not? You know, it'd be kind of cool. And plus, look what we're getting out of it, though. That's my point. Like, this is turning into the funnest, coolest industry with camos, because you're seeing all these new camos all the time that people are starting to be like, dang, I really want that. And a good example of that's the Fred Bear camo, because Fred Bear camo, when I go to Bear Archery, I was at the Total Archery Challenge, they were there, we're talking, and everybody, a lot of people wanted that camo. They're putting it on trucks now, they're putting it on, and it's like old school, right? But like, people are like, oh, I really like that. You know, it's just funny to see that transition, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
How does that camo image get translated onto the actual fabric? Like, is it dyed on there? I've always wondered, like, okay, you got this great camo, but how do you get the fabric to look like that?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And high level, 90%+ of camouflage you see in the industry is printed. 98% of it. And it's printed primarily in two ways, when a dye stuff or a wet print, they call it, which are really shooting inks through perforations and discs per color that leave particular color. You know, if you have a light green, that roller or that screen prints that light green. The next one prints the dark one. You can have, I've seen print beds up to 16 colors. And but like a woodland camo, like an army camo, you know, there's primarily four colors. That's, you know, yeah. But heat transfer is taken over in all the polyesters, where they print the pattern on a paper, and then they, through heat, they basically impose that ink onto a fabric. So that runs most of it. We don't do anything like that. Ours is actually knit. It's called jacquard knitting, which, as I said earlier, we were limited to four colors. So these, we have four yarns that are basically dyed to the color we want, and they're stitched in through looms into the pattern. That does a lot of things, though. I mean, it gives it that sort of random soft look, kind of a neutral look, but it uses, more importantly, it uses way less synthetics than the two methods I just described.
I have to imagine, too, though, that because the yarn that you're using is dyed, that the longevity of that pattern on that material, the like from a fadeability standpoint or all that kind of stuff, is going to last a lot longer too.
Yep. We're slightly shifting gears. You know, we're so much into light absorbance versus reflectivity. The woods are 100% organic, everything out there, right? And they absorb light much different. Organic things absorb light and porous things absorb light much different than flat synthetic things. You know, if you had a plastic bag that was one color and the exact same color in a burlap sack and you go throw them in the woods, it's night and day difference, which one's easier to see. So we spend a lot of time on that same principle of using natural fibers, knitting them and reducing the synthetics, and then putting the texture in them as well. Our light absorbance is greatly mimicking the light absorbances in the woods. And we'll be talking a lot more about that in the future. There's a reason, you guys, why snipers don't make their ghillie suits out of polyester and nylon. They use jute, they use natural fibers, and it's for the same reasons. Because waterfowlers are flocking their heads on their goose decoys for the same reasons, because it gives that natural absorbance to mimic a head of a goose versus a printed plastic head.
That makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sig Sauer, keeping you safe in and out of the field, but also keeping you in the field longer with Sig's lineup of cross rifles, optics, ammo, and more. Learn all about it at SigSauer.com. Also brought to you by Tinks, Dead Downwind, Burris, Vapor Trail, Stokerized, Arizona Archery Enterprises, Apex Rewards, and Easton.
Last year, Reveal by Tacticam quickly became the most sought-after scouting camera in America, making cellular scouting available to any hunter. We ask our users how we can make this outstanding camera even better, and this is our answer. Introducing the all-new Reveal X. Even easier setup, better battery life, faster trigger speed, on-demand HD photo.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Extended detection range. This season, find out what all the buzz is about. Get a new Reveal X by Tacticam.
I'm gonna venture to say this is gonna be a big deal in the camo industry in the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, just looking at it and looking at what Dave's wearing, everything that you just said, you can identify right there, because I've owned a lot of camos, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And there is a difference just visually looking at what I'm looking at on camera with Dave than others that I've seen. And I didn't realize it, right? It's not something that I could have, like, I could have formulated a thought around as to why until you just said it. And that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense, for sure.
Yep. Jamie's kicking me on the table and cautioning me not to get too far off.
No, I get it. I know. Some of the questions, you got to answer at a high level. Totally.
Yeah. Tim loves probing questions.
Don't do it. Yeah, you know,
I'm actually really glad that you went into, like, we could talk for hours on this stuff. So it is, it is good to give that amount of detail. But I mean, the reality is we don't really talk about camo like that. We usually, like, right. Kind of Dave, where you were saying people are like, oh, this camo looks cool. We're so used to buying or purchasing camo based on how good you look. And don't get me wrong, we all like to look good, but there's this other component that we forget. Camouflage clothing is supposed to conceal you. So the whole concept of this is like a shift in mindset of what is a priority within clothing. And honestly, you know, the fabric choices that we make really hit home with concealment, hit home with the silent story and also the warm story. But it's being able to educate the consumer again and say, you're buying this clothing to hide, to, you know what I mean? Like, it's a tool. While we definitely, you know, see it as a uniform too, that mind shift, or that we really need to get on board with understanding, like, there's purpose driven, you know, functionality within this, and everything that Ev talked about is it.
It'll sound like a sales pitch, you guys, and Jamie can confirm this. I am no salesman. I'm just not. I just kind of, I'll tell you everything wrong with our stuff as much as I'll tell you everything right.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, it doesn't sound like a sales pitch when it's factual and knowledgeable, right? I mean, that's the thing, is like, what we want as a consumer is we want to know that you guys have put that much thought into it. Right. We want to know that you guys have sat down and we ask you a question, it's not your standard answer, right? Because that means that you spent the time, you understand your product, and you're trying to put out something that's different than everybody else. And you can tell, hands down, you can tell.
It goes so much back to the one instance in the tree. And it was a pretty smart, you know, particular deer I was hunting. But I was hitting a new, I'm not talking about sitting in the same stand where you've been picked off 40 times before. You know, I'm talking about setting up a brand new stand, hanging and hunting and climbing 26 foot up and hiding behind the whole trunk of a tree, you know, trying to get the deer past me before I even, he has any visibility. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why is camo gear not performing at the level that we all think it is? And there's something here, I guarantee you that much. So
I like how the camo is you used a comment, I forgot the word exactly, but it's like diminished or not like super sharp. Yeah, it looks so much better, I think, when I look at it, because it more looks to me like, when I'm looking behind you guys, it looks to me like the forest, you know, it really does. Like, it's just kind of a mesh of those colors that are, you're seeing in nature, in the shadows, right? Not necessarily like in the front end, or, you know, there were some other brands in the industry years ago that had a couple very unique patterns that frankly they look terrible. Like, I think people are like I ain't, and you guys know, because you guys worked in Cabela, so you definitely seen these different patterns. I won't name names, but there was a couple where people were like, I don't know. But then there was all these people fighting like, are you kidding me, this is the best thing ever, you know, this is this. But you see it, you're like, I get it, I, maybe
exactly
you're right,
what you're talking about,
but I don't
look good though.
Like, I have to look a little good,
a little good, yeah.
It was like a little bit there, I don't want to. Can you guys tell us about the water protection? Like, how does this work? Can I get rained on? Can I not? Like, maybe go through that real quick on this material.
Yep. So we are not offering waterproof designs at this time. We're you know, leaning really hard toward water resistance. And you can, again, going back to what I said, I'm not a salesman. You know, with the cold weather styles we have, most of the moisture you're going to be encountering is going to be in the form of white stuff. It's going to be snow. And we do fine with the water repellents that we have. We spend extra money and put the best water repellency on there that we can. But without waterproofness, and because of the porosity of the fabrics themselves, and because of the organic side, you know, if you sit out in rain, you know, it's the clock starts ticking. You got a couple hours, I'll be honest. But in cold weather, if it's snowing out and you're brushing off, no problem, really, is kind of how I would describe it.
So basically, it doesn't have like, but I don't know how this stuff works, to be honest. I'm just asking questions here. So, is there like a liner? When you say the word waterproof, is there some sort of liner that's inside the clothing, or like a shield or something?
By style, we have some windproof. We have a technology we call Wind Seal, which is a kind of a barrier that we use, usually right under the surface fabric. And it has, you know, some water repellency and some water resistance. It is not what you would call like a Gore-Tex or something like that, where it's a full barrier. We can build waterproof clothing with the best of them. That's not a problem. I would tell you that I breathability, when you're trying to stay warm on stand in super cold weather, there's a reason why the Arctic guys that go in the Arctic expeditions wear really highly breathable stuff and don't wear laminates. And
yeah,
a little bit why you get cold and rubber boots, you know.
Let's be honest in reality, right? Like, if it's raining for a couple of hours, I'm moving to a ground blind anyway.
Yeah.
Or if it starts raining, I'm just like, are you kidding me? I'm getting out of here. I'm not that diehard.
And then it goes back to quietness too. You know, there's trade-offs with everything.
Yeah, good point.
Particularly in cold weather. You know, you start talking about single digits and waterproof technologies, and it's really hard to deliver on the level of quietness we're trying to deliver on. Yeah. So
On a different note, I'm kind of disappointed because I'm not disappointed, but I'm disappointed I don't have my backpack here because I took it hunting. You guys be proud of me. I took it hunting with my son. Nice. We had a youth weekend, so it's on my four-wheeler in my garage. But you guys have one behind you, so that's good. Can you talk about or maybe even show the handle system? Because it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a pack.
Sure. Yeah.
It is so unique, Tim. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but
I have not. No.
Watch what this can do. Yeah. So for a bow hunter, this stuff is
pretty simple. You know, it's just a buckle and a handle, but if those people that have ever
think about genius.
Tried to hang a pack over a branch.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to saw your branch off, it ain't happening. And
it feels good too when you're holding it. It didn't give up like sacrifice like the grip or anything, because I was like, wow, well, maybe it's gonna be a crappy grip because this, but it wasn't. I was like, dang, this is really well done.
Well, think about that too. Dave,
buckle, as you saw, I did not want that thing to have any chance of ever breaking, regardless of how much weight you had in it. And I've had 80 pounds in this thing and bounced it on a peg trying to get that buckle to not hold it up, and no problems.
But you think about it too. I mean, it's there's the whole in the tree stand thing. But like, if I'm riding out on an ATV or I'm riding out, you know, like on an e-bike or something like that, that's a beautiful way to attach it to the vehicle that I'm riding out on.
Yeah.
Right. So that it secures the backpack to the machine and I don't have to worry about it losing it or it falling off.
Dave, have you played with putting antlers in it at all?
Not yet. No. Where do you put them? Right there.
So, I didn't set this up.
It's more to look pretty.
That was one of the biggest things we set out to do. You know, we had a lot of requests last year. You guys just said, hey, I love your clothes. Why don't you guys build a pack? You know, and I'm like, hey, no problem. We can build a quiet pack. We get it. But then it was like, well, we need this pack to do something more. And so it's like, well, what's the big issue? And rattling antlers way by far rose to the top of pain in the neck type scenarios. You know, if you either you just carry them in your hands or you put them in your pack and they eat up all the pack. And so all we've really done is utilize the lower curvature of the pack, you know, the natural. So this lower flap, this is called the double backpack because it has two flap systems. It has this lower one I'm talking about. But so the curvature of a set of antlers just fit around the bottom of that pack really, really well. And trying to do never done this like this, but, and then we have this upper flap that basically is buckled just right. The buckles are about halfway in there to where they just go over the top of the antlers like that. And then all I'm going to do is I'm just going to compress the two flaps together like this. Make sure I got the right buckle. Just like that.
That's awesome.
The antlers are just in there. They're not moving. They're not making any noise. And I still have 100% of the capacity of the rest of my pack there.
I think we should call it the kangaroo pouch. The kangaroo pouch.
That's a great name.
It's like an antler hunter.
So now I'm up in my stand. And sometimes I got to mess with this. I got to be careful. But I just want to, and I had these stabbed in there just a little bit further. Didn't know I was going to have to demonstrate. But they will just lay right that on my flap.
Oh.
Sit them right in my stand.
That's awesome.
And when I want to go home, it's just in reverse. I just buckle it back up.
I love this too. And I'm going to give you another idea. This sales pitch for certain hunters out there. That front pocket can also be used as a trash can. so that when certain people go out to the ground blind and they bring their boatloads of snacks and water bottles, and they can just throw it in there, clip it up, and take it with them and not leave it behind.
I'm just saying. I guess someone could do that, but I don't think anybody's putting garbage in there. They don't want to, you know, stain anything or get scent on anything. No,
excuses,
I love that.
Excuses.
Is pretty cool. I the one I was using is more of the day pack one, the smaller one, which for what we do here.
It'll do the same thing, Dave.
Oh,
so I see the clips on the front of that too. Could I potentially put a crossbow in there, like put the butt stock in that pouch in the front and then clip it to the back?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. I'm shocked at how versatile this pack is. I mean, we kind of kicked our coverage a little bit, I think. You know, setting out just trying to solve the rattling antler deal, we solved a lot more. I had some guys at a major retailer, I won't mention names, and I was sitting there presenting to them early on, and I'm going through it, and I'm kind of a saddle hunter by heart, but, you know, it's so thick where we hunt that we kind of go trim and then go hang, you know, during the season. And he was checking out the pack, and he goes, and I was like, either he loves it or he hates it, I can't tell. And he finally looked up at me and said, do you realize you just revolutionized saddle hunting? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did.
Best sales pitch, sure did. Of course.
And literally that same flap I just showed you, you could put a platform, put a harness in there.
Wow.
Because this back pouch is so big, so stretchy, so durable. So this has two positions, Dave. You have to take this out of that lower compartment. So this comes and it has, there's two more of those little hooks inside this lower pouch. So you can leave this pouch all the way down for longer sticks or for a rifle, or you can move it up this hat for shorter sticks or a crossbow. It's big tripod if you're a camera guy. It's just got a lot of cool stuff going on.
It's kind
of
funny because
it's super, super quiet, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because you're going through that, and I'm thinking in my head, like, while you're showing that, like, man, the game is so different now than it used to be. I feel like when I was younger, back when I was in my 20s, like, yeah, I would have absolutely 100% wish I had that pack and I could, like, put my sticks in there, you know. But now I was thinking about it, like, well, I fill that pack up with everything I need for my day trip, and I just ride a four-wheeler. Forget how.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than it used to be, but, you know, at the same time, those capabilities are so important, and I love it. I just think it's so cool. It's so comfy, quiet. You know, it was easy to pack in and out, and there's a lot of space in there. I think a lot of people might not realize how much space you guys actually have in those things, but I put a lot of stuff in there, sweatshirts, my son's snacks. It was crazy. We had two people stuff in the one bag.
You know, it would fit perfect in there, Dave, is a bow repair kit by BHP.
Yeah, our new archery bow repair kit for sure.
There you go.
Well, you know, we're out west and we're doing a lot of, you know, mobile stuff. And so I can put a 60 millimeter scope in this side. It's got the side straps for that. I can put a tripod on this side. I can strap my bow in the back in the compartment, so I have an optic use up front and I'm going. It's pretty versatile pack, really is.
Awesome. Are you guys just direct to consumer? Can we find you in dealers, big box stores? Where do we find you at?
Yeah. So we're in, we have both a retail model and a direct to consumer model. You know, some of our bigger partners, Shields, for example, kind of in the Midwest, it's mostly Sportsman's Guide. We're on Optics Planet online. We have some great partners. Be honest with you, this is a specialized enough of a line. We really think that the you know, the traditional archery dealer can make a go of it. We really do, and we're hopeful that happens. You know, that's a tough business anymore, and we've heard it from so many of those guys that you just can't sell clothes. And I'm like, I hope this is different. And so far, we've had some pretty good results there. I think the jury's still out a little bit, but we're very, very confident. And because it's so specialized, and because of the price point too, we think that's going to work real well for that local shop that's so important for our industry. So,
yeah, no, for sure. And you got everything covered, really. I mean, that's the knowledge. And like I said before, and I do want to say it again, the thought process that you put into it, right, is really the key behind all of it. Because If it was just like, oh yeah, it's a cool material, we print the pattern on, blah, 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 you know, okay, cool. You're just like everybody else that tried to do this.
Right.
But you're not, because of the thought process that you put on it, the time that you put into the design, and not just the design, but the construction of it and how it all molds together and is really, really for the hunter. I can't see you guys going any place but up. So that's good.
I appreciate that.
It reminds me of the story kind of reminds me of we had Josh on from Triple Point Outdoors, and they make broadheads, right. And he's like a small little tiny broadhead thing, right? And we're talking to him, and I'm like, man, this guy really knows his stuff. Like he's like the stuff he's saying is pretty, it's impressive. Like he just knows this. And then later, I asked him in the show. I said, listen, I'm going turkey hunting like this weekend. Sell me on why I should use your turkey broadhead, and literally sold me on it so fast. And he sent me one. I shot turkey with the next day, and it was like I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, this is what I'm talking about. But I agree. This, to Tim's point, is like, it's a really important part of it, I think, to show your knowledge, and in the business. Period. You've experienced this clothing market for years, so you knew everything about that market before you did this. You're not going to do this if you didn't believe in it. That's the point. You know it's going to work because you've already seen everything else and know it's better in its own way. So yeah, I agree with Tim. I mean, just keeping that thing moving and just keep getting it out there. It's the best you guys are gonna be able to do with this. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, appreciate that. Yeah, and just going back to that, and again, not patting ourselves on the back, but from where we came from, both Jamie and I, it's Cabela's, when I was kind of at the peak of, kind of where we were hitting on all eight cylinders, we were about 90% private label, and that was across a lot of different SKUs. And, spent a lot of time manufacturing goods, and that was totally vertical, from developing our own fabrics, developing our own camouflages, developing our own technologies, designing the garments, sourcing the garments, inventory control. And I think Jamie and I would both say that if it wasn't for that background, this wouldn't happen either. You can do all the things about hunting and building cool stuff, but if you don't know where to build it and how to build it, it's just a whole nother level of cost and aggravation and challenge. So
when you guys were at Cabela's, did you work with Amanda there then?
Oh yeah.
And did you work with Ryan too?
Ryan Schutz? Yep.
Oh yeah. Yep. Schutz is awesome.
He's awesome.
What a small world. That is so funny. So the four of you guys knew each other, ended up all these different companies and stuff. It's pretty cool. Like, that's pretty cool. The knowledge out of Cabela's, and to be honest, everybody I've dealt with that came out of there has been so cool. That's what's funny about it. It's like, man, they lost some good people. I'll tell you that.
That's a great deal. Yeah. And there's still some really great people there.
Oh yeah.
At both Bass Pro and Cabela's, mm-hmm. A lot of good friends and hats off to everything. They're still getting done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different thing now, right? Bass Pro coming in, it's like, yeah, well, we're gonna do it this way, we're gonna do it that way. I can imagine the pressure. That's probably crazy. But
I just quite a run there. I started in 87, back in 87.
Wow.
But wow. I mean, Jim,
when you were like 3 years old, that's crazy.
I walked by Jim Cabela's office every day, on the way to work, and it was just pretty surreal to look at that whole, watch that whole thing. And I thought they were big when I started, and they were nothing where they ended, but it was all about treating the customer right and doing the right thing and building products at work and listening. And it was a pretty fun thing to be involved with.
Yeah. I love Cabela's growing up. That was one of my favorites. There was Gander Mountain, Cabela's. There's one called Dunham's here that always had a lot of hunting stuff. But out of all of them, here, well, we had the Dundee Cabela's, and it was always really big, but it wasn't the closest thing, so you had to travel a little bit to get to it. But Bass Pro was always more, in my mind, they're always more fishing, Like, I go in there and be like, all right, well, more than half that building's fishing,
Then it's called Bass Pro, right?
No, I get it, and that's okay. I'm just saying that's how I always felt, was like, oh, and then Cabela's, I was like, well, these are the real hunters, That's how I always felt like when I was young, growing up. Like, these are the actual hunters. But then again, when you think about it, okay, well, fishing draws a lot more money than hunting probably. So I'm assuming they had a lot more money over there to acquire it, It builds up a different way,
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we appreciate y'all coming on. Great products, great company. It's codeofsilence.com, right? If people want to check you out.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, awesome job. Like we said before, I mean, the knowledge that you guys have behind all this stuff and the knowledge that you're putting into it speaks for itself. But everybody's got to go check it out, codeofsilence.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, you guys.
No worries.
I'm just going to stop right here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.